Good evening. The Chofetz Chaim, we know, wrote Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, Sefer Chofetz Chaim. Obviously, it was something that meant a lot to him. He's very, very involved in getting people to stop talking Lashon Hara. So, after giving over a lot of this Torah, he had Talmidim who also started going around talking about the principles that the Rebbe was very focused on. So one of his Talmidim went to a town. He gave a whole shmooze how every single time you speak Lashon Hara, it keeps on adding up and adding up, and all the different 37 mitzvahs that you're over, that the Chofetz Chaim talks about. And he said, like, you know, eating a schnitzel and cooking it with cheese, that's like a really bad thing. No one does that, right? Still no one does it yet, I think. But speaking Lashon Hara, you're going to be over much more things. And he came back to the Chofetz Chaim afterwards, and he's like, you know, I gave a whole schmooze, and he told the Chofetz Chaim exactly what he said. And Chofetz Chaim was like smiling, he was so proud, he gave mamish the way he wanted. He's like, so what's the problem? He's like, afterwards, I heard one of the balabatim talking to each other, and he's like, I didn't realize that eating schnitzel and cheese is not so bad. So he's like, listen, you have to do what you have to do. Someone's going to hear something. It's kedai if one person. If one person grew from it, you're doing the right thing. And I think that's a very big yesod, which I would like to talk about tonight a little bit, which is, Chazal say, there's a pasuk, Yisharim darche Hashem tzadikim yelchu bam upayshim yikashlu bam, which is that we could tell you one thing, and tzadikim could look at it one way, and Rishayim could look at the same thing and hear something else. And they'll find, like, if Rabbi Wiener got up and told you, like, all the halachas of someone that comes late, someone could say, like, now I could come late to davening and I know exactly what to do, right? That's not what his intention was. He was talking about Pashit like he was saving, you know, your roommate, and you had to bring him to a hospital, and his Zman Tefillah was coming, so he wanted to let you know how to do it, right? So, obviously. Okay, so the point is that It's all how we look at it. I think a lot of our Yiddishkeit is really focused on, are you in it because you want to be in it? Because you want to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or like we're just trying to survive, we're trying to get through this. We're here because our Tati and Mami would be very depressed if we came back in the middle of the year and said this is not for me, right? Or some people never get married and, you know, for a bunch of years they have to sit in Kailo because their wife is going to like dump them if they, you know, they're not the... not a rangatung in Koilo, right? You could live that life. You could. It's sad. But you could live a better life. You could live a life of meaning that I want to get into everything I do. And I think it takes a lot of focus. So that brings us to this week's parsha. This week's parsha, we know that there was the Meraglim. To me, last week and this week are probably the most depressing parshias. Maybe Rabbi Streicher has another depressing parsha, but like we were like 3 days away from Eretz Yisrael, and then like just everything like collapsed. And it's like parsha after parsha, and you're like, they can't do anything worse than they do. But obviously it's there for us to learn from. And if there's free will, so Hashem really knew we were going to not go into Eretz Yisrael, so we're really going to be there for 40 years. You're right. But at the end of the day, this is all here because this is how Klal Yisrael had to go through it, and we're here to learn the lessons. So, one of the big lessons of the Meraglim, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, "Vatisa kol eda, vayidnu kolam, vayivcho ha'am balayla ha'hu." So, this week's parsha it says that Klal Yisrael cried that night. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oisai leil tisha b'av haya. That was the night of Tisha B'Av. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYisrael, atem b'chisim b'chiyah shel chinam. You cried for nothing. I promise you, this is an amazing place to come to. V'ani ekav lachem b'chiyah l'dorais. Because you cried, so I'm going to make you... I'll give you a night to cry. Later on, that same Gemara says... Amar Rava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Why is the peh in Eicha, we have Aleph Beis in each one of the Psukim. They go in Aleph Beis order in most of the Prakim. In most of the Prakim, you'll notice that even though Aleph Beis, Veis, Gimel, Dalet, Hei, Vav, usually what comes first, peh or ayin? Ayin comes first. But why is the pay? Shkayach v'chashem. Why is the pay before the ayin in most prakim in Eicha? Take a look. Take a look afterwards. You'll see. It's not the first parak. It might throw you off. Bishvil meraglim she'omru b'fiyah ma'ashaloi royu be'eneyim. Because of the meraglim, which said with their mouths things they didn't see with their eyes. So, Rav Shimon Schwab asked, I don't understand. The meraglim went to Eretz Yisrael. And they came back with a horrible report. But to go, there was a lot of emunah lacking. Right? That obviously, the emunah vad would be very good for them. But to say that they said things with their eyes that they didn't see, said things with their mouth that they didn't see with their eyes. Thank you, Rabbi Fahir. It's always good to have you. They saw giants. There were big people there. The whole thing about the grasshoppers, that wasn't made up. Okay, they didn't have to feel like a grasshopper, but they did look like grasshoppers compared to these giants. They came back. The Gemara like handles like, how exactly did 8 people hold this cluster of grapes, right? So it's not a joke. They were obviously huge grapes. I think it's interesting that the tourism ministry of Israel has 2 people holding a cluster of grapes as the way of touring Israel. But okay, whatever, we'll talk about, maybe we'll get to that. The point is that they came to a Meshunadik land. Wherever they went, there were people dying. It wasn't a made-up story. There were people dying. Okay, they should have realized Hashem was doing this as a taiva. But they saw crazy people, they saw crazy fruit, and everyone dying. And the taina of the Gemara is, they said things with their mouths that they didn't see with their eyes. Why is that the taina? To the point that Yirmiyah and Eicha went and put the peh before the ayin. Number 2, you have Kalev. So Kalev sees what's going on. It's a bad matzah. And Vayahas Kalev Esam, he quiets down everyone. Rashi says, how do you get everyone quiet? He gets up, you know, make a whole platform. This is the only thing Ben Amram did for us. Right? Anytime you want to like bash someone, you obviously got to call them by their last name. Right? It doesn't work with first names. So everyone's like quieting down. Okay, what else is he going to add to the story? And he's like, well, Moshe Rabbeinu also brought all the makas and he took us through the Yam Suf. And they're like, oh, come on, he's one of these frummies. Right? But what was Kalev, what was his plan? Like, you tricked them into everyone being quiet, so what? Then you would tell them, oh, by the way, Moshe did all this stuff. They knew about all the stuff that Moshe did. The problem is right now, we're going into Eretz Yisrael, and this seems like a crazy place. So what did he gain, what did he hope to gain by quieting them down and tricking them? Reb Chaim Zaitchik, he says, there's a pasuk in it's pasuk in Balak. Pasuk in Balak tells us how Bilam and Balak were together. They were trying to wipe out Klal Yisrael. So originally they sent Ziknei Midyan and Ziknei Moav to go speak to Bilam to try and convince him to go and curse Klal Yisrael. So Rashi also points this out, but the Das Akenim in Balei HaTosa says that night, when Bilam said, okay, stay for tonight, and I'll speak to Hashem and see what Hashem says, so the Ziknei Midyan decided to leave. Because you only see Mayav after that. You don't see anything about Midyan. So Rashi talks about that they had the sign in their heads that if he's maskim to come with us right away, so then we'll go with him. Otherwise, he's a forgery, he's making up stuff, it's not going to work out. The Balei HaTosa say, V'ziknei Midyan l'heichan hochu, where did they go? Kevan da'amar lehu linu pai halayla hochu lahem. So once he said, I want you to stay for tonight, hochu lahem, they left. Amru klum yesh av shesoyne b'noi. Is there a father that hates their son? Like, how are we going to get Hashem to be maskim that Bilam's going to go and curse? Can I ask a dumb question? Before you left on this like expedition to Bilam, you forgot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Klal Yisrael's father? Now that he said, oh, why don't you sleep over tonight? Let me ask Hashem. You're like, oh, the father's never going to let me go and curse. What did you think before you left on this trip? So Dr. Chaim Zaitchik says that, you know, there was like, this was like a major, major crisis. All the countries around had been attacked by the Jews, been taken over, and they thought they were next. No one's thinking. Everyone's just like, we got to take care of this problem. So they go. We're going to get Bilam to curse. We're going to do stuff. Then they get there, and he's like, okay, let me sleep over it. They start thinking to themselves. It was the first time they ever stopped to think. They stopped to think, and they're like, you think Hashem's going to let us curse his children? Not happening. So they realize there's nothing to talk about. Let's leave. The point was, you could get so busy with your stuff, you could totally just forget about what's logical and what's not logical. They say about Einstein, Einstein was a pretty smart guy, right? So Einstein one time was looking for a paperclip, I guess to put all his, you know, theories together or something. And he had his, you know, his Talmud over there, his apprentice, and they're looking through, he's going through all his closets. He can't find the paperclip. Finally, he finds like a bent out of shape paperclip, which I guess back in the day that was like heavy metal stuff. It wasn't like just like one of these thin, lousy pieces that we have today. So he now needed a pliers to bend the paperclip back into shape. Then as they're going through more drawers looking for pliers, he finds his Talmud finds a whole package of paperclips. He brings it to him. He's like, here, we have paperclips. He's like, we're not looking for paperclips. We're looking for the pliers. He's like, hello? We have 100 paperclips here. But you get so focused into what we need now that you totally forget about what I'm really doing over here. Rav Shimon Schwab says that what happened was that the Meraglim came back. And they saw lots of stuff in Eretz Yisrael. You know why they saw lots of stuff? The same concept that we find by Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu got to Hara Maria. He was told to travel. I'll show you where the place is. He gets finally to a mountain, and he sees a cloud. He sees a cloud going up to Shemaim. He turns to Yitzchak. He says, you see what I see? Yitzchak says, yes. They turn to Yishmael. Eliezer, do you see anything? No, they didn't see anything. So Avram says, okay, so you guys stay with the donkey. Why do you stay with the donkey? Just like the donkey doesn't see Kedusha, so you also stay with the donkey. You don't see Kedusha either. Yitzchak, who's the one who sees the Kedusha, obviously they're going to go up together. Pshat is, you could come to Hara Meria and you could see Kedusha. You could see a cloud going up to Shemaim. Or you could see this is a gishmak, a place to chill. We make kumsitzes in the back and, you know, we chill out Thursday night over here. We go to the kaisel Friday night and we also have a matzav. And, you know, there's always some people in the circle dancing and into it. And there's a bunch of people on the outside, like just schmoozing with all their friends that they haven't seen in a few weeks. We could come to Eretz Yisrael and you could go to the Kivra Avis. You could go to Kivra Rachel. You could go to all these amazing places. Or you could just go to down. And Lemais, if you want to hang out, it's a pretty cool place to hang out, but I think there's much better places to hang out in America. And that's the problem with the Meraglim over here. They came with eyes, with the wrong kind of eyes. That's what Shimon Schwab says. If you're coming looking for Kedusha, you're going to go like Kalev to the Maris Samachpelah. You're going to go to the Makam HaMikdash. You're going to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Rachamim, for us, for Klal Yisrael. There are these giants here, but that's not going to turn you off. Because you're going to find opportunities to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Instead, they were looking at the physicality of the land. If you're going to look for the physicality, number one, you're going to find this place to be weird. And number two, you're going to be turned off. That's what happened over here. And Kalev was hoping, you guys are so focused on all the mess, or on all the problems. Let me just stop for 1 second. And he tried to get their attention. Is that the only thing Ben Amram did to us? And then everyone's like, okay, let's stop. Let's start thinking. And then hopefully, you could get them back on track. Didn't happen. But the Maritz Dushinsky, I think the first Rebbe of Dushinsky, he says that the night of Tisha B'Av, the night that they came back, was the same night that Yaakov Avinu originally went into Galus. It's the night that he slept by the Makam HaMikdash and he had the dream of the ladder. And it's also the night that he fought with the Malach on his way back. He says, why did Hashem make it that was the night that the Meraglim came back? You see, it's a night of Galus and it's a night that we could overcome the powers against us. It's the night that the Sar Shel Esav was trying to fight Yaakov and Yaakov was able to overcome him. You got a little bit injured. We don't eat the sirloin because of that. But that was a night where Klal Yisrael could fight all that evil and win. And Dafka that night, they came back. And we had that opportunity. Had we tried to focus on all the good in our lives, all the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there, all the good that Eretz Yisrael has to offer, we could have gone straight in. We would have been able to overcome those nisyanos. But instead, we focused on the negativity. We focused on the problems. We focused on, because we were looking with physical eyes. When you're looking with physical eyes, you don't see the same things as when a person's looking with spiritual eyes. That's pshat in the Gemara. The Chavetz Chaim is known to have said, he met a farmer one time. So in Russia was a pretty disastrous place. I mean, it was communist for many, many years. But before that was the Tsarist Russia. Now, there was a farmer he one time met, and he's like, how's business going? And the guy's like, I'm having a very hard time. He says, what's the problem? He says, listen, my wheat's not up to quality. It's not up to the highest quality. I go to the marketplace and no one wants my stuff. So he's having a hard time. He's selling it, you know, cheaper prices, cheaper people. And he wasn't doing so well. A few years later, after the communist revolution, he met him again. He's like, how's it going? He's like, oh, Baruch Hashem, we're doing so well. He's like, I don't understand. The whole country is a mess. Why are you doing so well? He's like, because of communism, and everyone's like, you know, everyone's working together, so everyone's doing nothing. So now there's like a run on produce, and people are just happy to take anything. So Baruch Hashem, I'm doing great. Everyone else is suffering, but I'm doing great. So the Chavetz Chaim said, you know, that's mamish, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the world. He's like, in the times of Ravina and Rav Ashi and Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Chassam Sofer, Hashem expected a lot from Yidden. And therefore, you come and your Shemoneh Esrei doesn't look like a Shemoneh Esrei, it was thrown out. And, you know, a Yid had to be like a Yid. But in the later generations, when there's so much garbage in the world and there's so much just bad, it's like Hashem is so happy when a Yid comes to shul. He's so happy when you give him a Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, you thought about 50,000. You had to say Tfilas Aderech and Goimel afterwards. But the point is that you came, you davened, you kept Shabbos. You might have slept half a Shabbos, but you know, you didn't text. We're like, okay, whoop-de-doo, Baruch Hashem. But Lamaisa, we're living in a world where all of this is already exceptional. And it's sad, but obviously this is the door that's bringing Mashiach, because when it's easy and everyone's doing it, that's very nice and that's great. But when it's hard and everyone's still doing it, that shows love. That shows how much we might come scarred, we might come beaten, but we're coming to greet Mashiach because we're showing love where it's hard. And we're walking around tzaddikim. There's people, this yeshiva, maybe it's a different yeshiva, but like, I heard it's not a story, it's just like, it's mind-boggling. But some girl was, I don't know, kicked out of her school, or she wasn't allowed on a trip or something, and her idiotic father told her, stay in the Waldorf for a week. And she called some bacher, maybe you'll join me. I don't know, but I don't know if everyone would win that battle. Baruch Hashem, like, his phone wasn't working, and he went to the kaisel, and like, by the time she finally got through, it was all over. But like, you chap, we're walking amongst people that have these kind of nisyonos and are winning. You know, there was, the Mashgiach already spoke about it, so I could just continue. But like, you know, the Mishkav Zachar in the world today is like, just like a tefker. And they say it's not such a big percentage, but they just like to be on every single movie show and whatever. It's like, but there are some real people that suffer with this. And I call it suffering because they're trying to make it into a movement where like everything's okay. But Lamaisin means that these people's neshamas are usually suffering. Something with their childhood, something with whatever it is. Lamaisa, it's not geschmack if you're in an all-boys yeshiva and you have feelings for other guys. Especially when they walk around the way they do in these dorms. And maybe it's a new incentive to like try and dress more tznius in the dorms of Sizer Rabbeim sometimes walking by. But imagine the Nisayan. I remember speaking to a guy who once had this issue a little, and like, he's not here anymore. But imagine you being in a girl's dorm for a year, and them walking around a little bit better than you guys walk around, and you can't even tell them that you like them because they'll think you're weird, right? And we have people that maybe we don't know about, maybe we didn't know about, and now we know about. But the point is, we're walking amongst tzaddikim. We're walking amongst very, very holy people. And no one always seems holy because we think like, what's that? But if you would realize, like the Chavetz Chaim realized, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates and he loves this, because this is the avodah of our generation, of everything we're going through, so then you realize we're holding on Ravina and Ravashi's level, just, you know, circa 2019. So I think that's one of the big yesodas we could take out of the Meraglim. It's a matter of how you look at it. If you're looking for this Kedusha, you're looking for Kedusha, 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 you're looking for spirituality, you're looking to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll see so much in yourself, you'll see so much in other people, and Amitz Hashem will realize how great we really could be, and always give HaKadosh Baruch Hu nachas. Yishkoyach, guys. Thank you for joining.